Hi, welcome to Business Link. I'm Jason Ball, President and CEO of the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce here in the AOI podcast studio at the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce offices. Excited for another conversation about what's going on in Lincoln business. Before we get to that, just want to remind everybody, you can see our entire back catalog of episodes that we have produced for the Business Link podcast. You can find that at lcoc.com on our newsroom tab. And there's been some fun conversations, still relevant conversations to Lincoln's future and what some business leaders are doing here in town. And we have one of our business leaders here in town with us today, joined by Kendall Warnock. Kendall is the owner and founder of A1 Automotive. Kendall, yeah. Welcome to the AOI podcast,
Jason,
studio.
Just super, super grateful to be here today and looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah. Now, yeah. This is going to be a fun one. I love getting to do these follow-up type of interviews.
Sure.
Because A1 Automotive was the 2025 Small Business of the Year that we got to recognize at Celebrate Business in December. Man, that was a fun night.
Boy, that was, we were just super grateful to be able to awarded that distinguished award and to be recognized with a lot of small businesses that are just exceptional here in our community.
Lincoln's a very entrepreneurial community in and of itself. And I had a good time. By the way, you can go back and see the A1 Automotive Small Business of the Year Award videos on the Lincoln Chambers website.
Sure.
And on the Lincoln Chambers YouTube page and on our Facebook page. So if you want to go check that out,
awesome.
It's fun to hear Kendall tell his story. But, Kendall, we were talking before we started going here.
Sure.
Like, entrepreneurship is not a business for the weak at heart, right? It takes some hustle. It takes many, many, many years of pushing on it. How did you have a moment where you said, I want to own my own business, or has that always been a lifelong passion? Like, how did you get interested in doing what you're doing now?
You know, it's always been a lifelong passion for me to own my own business in the shop. And I grew up on the Omaha Indian Reservation, my father's shop back home. And I thought, you know what? He did it in a village of 90. I'm gonna try to give it a shot with a city of 300,000. Was always been a passion of mine. But I tell you, it just takes a lot of grit and a lot of answered prayers and a lot of people that are in your corner helping you succeed and helping you navigate in those early years.
How did you find those people to help you navigate that? That's a question I feel like we and other members of our team get a lot. Oh, how can I go find someone else who knows what's around the next corner for me? How did you find those folks?
Well, that's a very fair question. And I would encourage all the young entrepreneurs here in the city to seek out people in your industry that are maybe 5-10 steps ahead of you.
Yeah.
And that's how I looked at it. And Joel Sartori has been a dear friend of mine close to 20 years now. So if you were to ask me who I leaned on the most, it was Joel Sartori here in the community. Yeah. And Joel's a dear friend of mine. But you have to find, Jason, you have to find those people that are able to help and are at a different level of the journey, the entrepreneurship journey, but most importantly, are willing to help. And there's a lot of us in the community, like we were talking about before we jumped on here, that are willing to help. You just got to carve out some time with people that have ran the routes and failed a little bit, and failing forward, as John Maxwell always says in most of his speeches, you have to be willing to fail, but fail forward and find those people that are willing to help.
Yeah. Now, as you mentioned, working in the shop with your dad as a kid, is that how you got interested in the automotive industry specifically?
I tell you, it was a dirt floor shop that I had to sell that property to help pay for to help bury both my parents in 2009. But I did buy that shop back because I think we talked about that over coffee, but I bought that shop back because it meant that much to me. So it's a dirt floor, two-door shed, literally in the village of Rosalie, up on the Omaha Indian Reservation. But that's where I cut my teeth and I waited for him, to get off work at 5 o'clock, and then we would tinker on cars until, 8:39 until mom said both of us get our butts home. But it was a good time and those moments and those memories that all of us have with loved ones. Mm-hmm. But also that ignited the you know, the automotive journey for me.
Yeah. Echo. Yeah. So. You know, I think about those early work experience type of moments sure. that people have, and they're sure. so varied as kids. You know, we work with a lot of students that are just trying to understand what Lincoln has to offer. And sure. I always tell people, take every tour you can get, look inside every business you can see inside. You never know when that next experience that you get to interact with yeah. in maybe a different way is going to change how you look at your career moving yeah. forward.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, trade schools, there's multiple businesses in the community that are in the trades that open. We open our doors up all the time. We had a Lincoln Southwest kid come by about a week and a half ago to do a couple hours with us and kind of unpack the automotive industry. You know, we work with Southeast Community College. They do tours at the shop. We are more than willing to open our doors up and make sure these kids have an understanding of what the technical side of post high school looks like.
Yeah.
And you know, let's face it, there's a lot of kids that want that 4-year degree and have the ability to get that done and want to pursue that. And then there's kids that just like to use their hands and get after it a little bit and kind of blue collar it. You know, we're excited about those kids and we open our doors to them all the time.
Yeah. And there's a lot of great careers right now.
Yeah, and the automotive industry is has changed so much, and we're looking at you know the EVs and the hybrids, and EVs and hybrids both have a place. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of making sure that we are capable from the electronic side of it, and making sure that we're able to sustain that level of care with EVs and hybrids, and making sure the computerized parts of it we don't fall behind. We don't, but again. It's not just mechanical anymore. It's a lot of it's computerized. And can you scan modules and can you update PCMs and ECMs and TCMs and all the things that all of the technical terms that I'm getting into the weeds here. But there's a lot of opportunities in the automotive field. And you know, we're just excited to bring on new people and on board and most importantly, teach these young kids.
Yeah. Let me jump backwards in time here. Sure. Just a little bit again, because I don't want to lose sight of this. You know, we talk to people in these chairs a lot who are an overnight success after 10 or 20 or 30 years. I think it's easy for people to see you as a very successful person now, but you started your first shop here in Lincoln, as an army of one, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm chuckling and I thought that this was where you were going with that question. And I still have, the software that I used my first year.
Yeah.
So I know what that number was when I made
and
I made $8,600 the first year.
Yeah.
So it's just when you're starting out in business, you're navigating everything from the books to, you know, the communications, the customer service, to the repair, to the post repair and the quality control and all the things. And but again, that's been 17 years in the making.
Yeah.
And it's been I don't remember ever once saying I'm going to this isn't for me.
Yeah.
So I was just continue to get up and work hard and if you're challenged a little bit with in terms of your skill set, what you can always do is outwork everybody.
Yeah.
You can always put your foot on the gas with your work ethic and say, okay, I may not be the smartest. I may not be the best here, but I'm going to outwork you. And that's the mentality that I've taken.
I sometimes call that in that type of thing internally, having more heart than talent. Right.
Well,
heart can get you a long way down the road if you won't quit.
I tell you what, a lot of people ran that route. So it's not just a few of us, but I tell you, it will work if you put in the work.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Now, if you look at A1 Automotive today, mm-hmm. we got two shops in Lincoln.
Sure.
You got the downtown shop that is a block away from our office here.
Sure.
You got the South shop that opened up still less than a year ago. Right?
Yeah. May 23rd will be our anniversary. So coming up here.
Year one. I love it.
Yeah.
And then Seward's opened up shop.
Yeah. We just opened up in Seward April 1st. So we're about 30 days into Seward. We've seen 200 cars up there. The South location, though, has been, you know, that was the big all in there.
Yeah.
But grateful to be down in South Lincoln, 52nd Yankee Hill there. And, you know, we see quite a few opportunities. But again, it's up to us to perform when we have those opportunities, just like everybody else in business. We all know what it takes. So we're grateful. We work on European imports, all the imports. We see a lot of different imports down there and downtown. But again, we get up with a mentality we're going to get better today, every day.
Yeah. I love that. And you're still in the shop very early every morning, starting the day out, demonstrating leadership, I think is what I would call that too.
And again, I think we have to, that's the route that I run, 4:30 a.m. I'm down here at this downtown location.
Yeah.
And I just want to set the tone for the team. You know, I'm cleaning the bathrooms, I'm cleaning the toilets, I'm cleaning the windows, but I want to make sure, you know, that all 90 bottles of water in our refrigerator are straight and the labels are straight and the standards that we have. If you know, as leaders, we have to set the tone in that space. You, from my experience, being absent is just doesn't, the culture doesn't, it's not great if you're not setting the tone for the team.
How do you do that for new team members? Is there like a specific type of training program or a curriculum you take them through before they're working on cars with their teammates?
Yeah, and this curriculum I've developed over the last 15 years. I'd be happy to share it with any of the members if they were to reach out and want that. And I just did it this morning with two.
Okay.
So I onboarded two team members this morning.
Yeah.
And it's basically our standards SOP, standard operating procedure.
Yeah.
And we go through everything from customer interaction to when we see somebody pulling up outside, we see what car they are in, and then we know, well, that's Jason coming in. We're going to the door and greeting you.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason, thank you for coming in today.
Yeah.
And from that to cleanliness, to how we treat people, how we interact with people, you know, then we get into the technical side of vehicles and the quality control and no fingerprints on the door jams or anything when we get done with that repair. So that standard is very important to me, and I do not, you know, respectfully, we will not deviate from that.
Yeah.
You know, we go over the core. We just went over core values this morning.
Yeah.
And you know, integrity is, and servant leadership. It's always easy to say those, right? When we're talking about a business, well, we're going to have integrity and we're going to have a ton of leadership in terms of servant heart. But we really get after it in those spaces. So, you know, just grateful to be able to have opportunities here in the city.
You know, I think that's really what makes organizations maybe either effective or less effective at living those out, is how in front of everybody is the leadership keeping it every single day. And that's what, just hearing you talk and getting to know you a little bit better, you know, that comes out in how you're demonstrating that every day and keeping it top of mind for your team.
I appreciate that. But again, it's a daily, we're getting better daily.
Yeah.
And I always tell our team, Jason, are we going to catch perfection? No, we're not going to catch perfection, but we can catch excellence if we're chasing perfection.
Yep.
So, you know, we have a sign at our south location right before our back door. We go outside and it's integrity. Mm-hmm. It's doing things the right way, even when people are not looking.
Yeah.
So it's almost like our horseshoe, you know, the stadium horseshoe when they're touching it.
Yeah.
That is our standards and one of our six core values.
I love it. Tell me, I mean, the automotive industry is changing what appears to me to be a remarkably rapid pace.
Yes.
It was already much more technical, even within my lifetime, than when I was a kid. And then with the EVs that are coming online or the more computerized systems, screens and cars, all that stuff.
Yeah.
How does, in an industry like that, how do you keep up with all that changing technology?
Well, you got to have a ton of passion for an industry that changes like this much and be able to absorb it and then teach it.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, you know, I've been blessed enough to have a lot of great relationships in our industry around the United States.
Yeah.
So we lean on each other once every couple of weeks and say, hey, what do you see in patterns of issues? And you know, the computerization of vehicles is at an all-time high, as you know, all of us know. But also with makes and models, you have to be very specific. It's not just 10W30 that you can pour into, you know, a Nissan anymore. Yeah. It's 0-20 Euro and all of the standards that the BMWs, Porsches, Audi, Volkswagens, Mercedes, Rovers, Jags, I could go on and on, but you have to be very specific with the fluids that you use or else you're going to void warranty.
Yeah.
So there is so many different avenues that you have to make sure that you that you're well versed in.
Yeah.
And even to the point where computers are, they're basically, there's between 17 and 22 computers in every vehicle. Wow. And all of them need updated. So BMWs, they come in, we got to go through an updated process for all those. And if they're behind, it could take 3-4 hours to get those
17
modules.
To 22 computers in one vehicle.
Yeah.
gosh.
Yeah. So again, you know, we take a lot of pride in, yeah, in all makes and all models.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that. It wasn't like we were really good from the jump with all makes and all models. Mm-hmm. I knew we were deficient with the Euros, mm-hmm, the Europeans, the Porsches and the Rovers and Jags and Audis and Volkswagens. So I set a course like, okay, here's what we're going to do for the next, every quarter we have two trainings. We fly somebody in and they teach us how to get better. Then we disseminate it to the team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we want to make sure that we are not deficient. Yeah. And if we're deficient, we won't be long because, yeah, we're going to attack it.
Oh, that's amazing. I want to shift gears if I can, just, sure, just real quick.
Great analogy, by the way.
They didn't make me a chamber executive for
right,
nothing.
Right. Right. That's great.
You've taken a really, I think what for most people, certainly myself, would be a unique approach to philanthropy. Sure. You know, I think, yeah, of philanthropy is sometimes donating our time, or you do a food drive, yeah, or maybe donate some money to an organization you, sure, care about. You're donating cars.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's been a, that's been on my heart for years and years and years. And because, you know, all of us have a story, but we grew up very poor on food stamps. We had literally hardly anything, but, and so I know what that feels like to, mm-hmm, be on, you know, with a lot of struggles. That being said, you know, God has blessed me with the ability to fix cars at a pretty substantially fast pace.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do, you know, Des and I started our ministry just this last year. We've been donating, we've given away 10 to 12 cars in the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
but that's, you know, Jason, you think about success for all of us. That's success to me, yeah, is being impactful. Think about the transportation needs in our community and people that don't have. I just got an email this weekend of a gal that we're going to be working on, mm-hmm, getting her something to drive. But that is, so what happens is we have people that maybe at the end of their span with that vehicle, mm-hmm, they have some issues with it. They don't want to spend $700-$800 on that car to get it back to optimal health.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I jump in with the ministry, mm-hmm, optics, like, okay, well, you know, I can give you X amount for it. And then I work with our parts suppliers and they, you know, they try to get me the parts as cheap as they can sell them,
mm-hmm,
maybe,
mm-hmm,
at little to no uptick in cost. And then what we do is we reach out to nonprofits around the community. John Suka, Catholic Social Services, yeah, great man.
Yeah.
VFW worked with a lot of veterans and was able to bless a lot of veterans. Calvary, all the churches in town were open to having conversations with. If I could do that, if I could do 10 of those a month,
yeah,
I would do it this afternoon. That's what makes me feel good. I don't, you know, I don't need a Sunday cruiser. You know, we're not Des and I and the kids. We don't go out much and, yeah, we don't need another house anywhere. Respectfully, if we can be impactful in this space, like it makes, it gives me goosebumps just talking about it right now. So,
yeah,
if we can close the gap with transportation needs in our community, that's what we're going to do.
Well, I think that is so special and meaningful. You think about the economic empowerment that comes along with going from maybe not having a vehicle that's reliable to having something you can depend on. Like that comes along with so much more than just being able to get from point A to point B, right?
You think about how impactful that is. And I'm not just saying that because we love to do it, but we had a gal that you know, we blessed the 2017 Nissan Pathfinder about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
She came in, you know, she works at a local church, and she was taking a bus for 3 years.
Yeah.
And she couldn't navigate getting her kids to the right places. And think about what we take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
We take advantage of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, it just, yeah, I get emotional when we start talking about this. So we're going to have to switch gears again here.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm going to get emotional. But
yeah,
it's very important to me to be impactful in that space.
Let me, I will change to something that's a little bit, maybe lighter fare here.
Sure.
If I was to ask you what maybe is one of the most difficult auto fixing experiences you've had, like what's something that sticks out in your mind? Goes, oof, I never want to do that one again.
Well, we were, you know, we had to isolate a Tesla battery issue.
Okay.
And you know, Teslas are all batteries. There's about 8,100 AA batteries underneath of a Tesla, give or take.
Oof, okay.
So, and they look identical to a AA battery, by the way. So isolating a cell pack.
Yeah.
And what I did in 2019, I bought a Tesla and I took it all apart because I wanted to understand kind of how they operated.
Yeah.
And again, there's a space for EVs. There's a space for hybrids. There's definitely going to be a space for hydrogen, which I think is the next energy source here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, going up against that Tesla and isolating a battery out of 8,000 was a little bit challenging, but we never back down from a challenge.
So. I love it. What do you think is the most fun you've had working on a car?
You know, I always, those, just the old schools, you know, the 50s to 60s and, you know, the Chevy C10s. I'm a big fan of, just because I grew up in them with my dad and the memories I've had. So those are easy. You could give those things a bear hug underneath the hood. You can't do that with anything in these days. So I'm just a big fan of anything mechanical.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a great team down here, great team down south, and have a very supportive wife that allows me to put in a lot of time and energy and effort into what I love. And she knows that I care about it. I care about the community that we live in, and we want to try to be impactful too.
Yeah. So, well, Kendall, it's been a pleasure talking with you today.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing some of your story with us and our members. If you want to find out more about A1 Auto, you can go to a1autolincoln.com.
Yeah.
Again, a1autolincoln.com. And they are very deservingly our most recent 2025 Small Business of the Year award winners. You can find those on the Chamber's Facebook and
YouTube.
Super
grateful for everything. And if I can help any of the members with anything, I'm open to it. So thank you, Jason.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, this has been Kendall Warnock with A1 Automotive and Jason Ball at the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce here in the AOI podcast studio. This has been Business Link, and we will see you next time.